It's the Falconcast podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Matt Moore, next to Jay Adams and Reed Farron, the bearded wonder. Hey, my man, No Shave November is over. We're in December. Did you just fall in love with the beard too much?
No, it's coming off. It's coming off Friday. Don't worry about it.
We just discussed how this was a sore subject, and you just right out of the gate.
That's what I do. Poke the beard.
It's coming off. It's coming off.
Reed, I think the beard looks great.
I think it does, too. It's great.
Hey, thanks, guys. Second consecutive week, we're with the first place podcast. This is the first place Falcon cast here. So the Falcons still in first place in the NFC South with a big victory over the Arizona Cardinals at home. That was nice. The Falcons they jumped right out, got after business, held a lead. It was nice not to have to kind of clench fist the whole time during the fourth quarter. That's what we want, right?
That's exactly what we want. We've heard from this team so many times this year, the word finish, but obviously in the opposite direction about needing to finish. Well, they actually did finish this time, and we saw what this team can accomplish when they play four quarters. And you got to like what you see. I mean, there were a lot of things that you come out of that game with. Smitty always says that there are positives and negatives to every game. I would think that the positives outweigh the negatives on this one.
And Reed, we'll get to you. The Julio Jones show was on Sunday. I mean, that was from out the gate. There was an animal inside number 11, a determined animal. Mm-hmm. I don't think he liked hearing some of the things Mr. Peterson from Arizona was saying last week. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And actually, Harry said it best when he said he knew Saturday night at the hotel. Julio was locked in and focused, so he was ready to go and come out. And to Julio's credit, he did what he did. He did his business on the field, didn't say anything, and afterwards had the chance to talk to him. And he is the same after a career day as he is when he doesn't have his best day and doesn't catch some balls or whatever. Exact same guy. And he's humble. He said that's the way he was raised. And he's ready to go, obviously, this week against Green Bay.
Let's stay on Julio for a sec, because that was a special performance. I think we talked about that with Hester in the Bucks home game. You can kind of tell it's a special day when someone – you can tell that it is a special moment in this player's career when we're up in the press box seeing someone do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's some career games that we can remember in recent memory for the Falcons. I mean – Matt Ryan, I mean, every time we get to a fourth quarter, right, 2 minute drill, you know, I mean, nice. That's some of the stuff that he does in the final 2 minutes will certainly kind of remind you of Julio's performance. I like, you know, some of the stuff that Roddy's done in recent years as well, just being that clutch player. You talk about some of these guys that have really made a name for themselves in this organization, and you know, it really comes on the heels of those big performances like we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, and it felt a lot like, you know, when they say in basketball, guys get in the zone. Julio was definitely in the zone, but so was Harry. I mean, he comes out with nine grabs, over 100 yards. And just, again, you said the importance of the brotherhood that they have showcased on the field. Eric Weems coming to his defense, you know, on the onside kick this past week. So those guys have each other's backs, and it carries over to the rest of the team.
And like you said, the guy, you know, the guy hits his first shot and kind of hits his next shot.
They're rolling.
Confidence is up. I would say the secondary for Atlanta was kind of in the same mold there. From out the gate after that first interception, the fumble recovery, it was their day as well.
Yeah, and obviously great job mic'd up with Trufant. I mean, these guys doing the best job.
I didn't know who you were tossing to there.
I tossed to whoever wants to take it.
Hey, he looked at me like a...
No, I love the mic'd up segments you guys are doing, and Trufant was the best. And he actually talks more on the field than he does at practice or in the locker room.
That's true. That's true. He's more of a soft-spoken, kind of quiet guy. But yeah, the Falcons defense, I think, is a unit that really needed a game like that. Builds a lot of confidence. I think, you know, nobody was really talking about how great the Arizona Cardinals offense was coming into the game. And in fact, I think up until the start of the game, they had gone like seven quarters without scoring a touchdown. So, you know, they had some struggles on offense coming into the game. But for the Falcons defense to force the number of turnovers that they did, to beat a team with a record like they had, I mean, that team came in confident. That team came in maybe overlooking the Falcons a little bit. And this team, this Falcons team, knowing what's on the line. I mean, you talk to some of them knew the Saints won earlier in the game, some of them or earlier in the day, some of them didn't know that. But knowing that they've still got a shot, chipping a chair, as we say
well, around two chips here. In a chair, right?
Yeah. I mean, just knowing that and not giving up. I know a lot of people out there like to make fun of the word resiliency because we hear it so much. But truth of the matter is, I mean, that was about as resilient an effort as you can get on Sunday. And this team is not backing down. And that's why, you know, Monday's game, it's kind of a toss-up for me.
You know, the chip in a chair, you went all in. Now we only have two chips in a chair.
Two chips.
Doubled up. Double up, you're in first place. See how that works? You're in first place. And let's just, you know, I have on the script NFC South playoff picture. I think Smitty would be mad if we started talking about that. I think we should focus on this Monday night game and go take care of business. And absolutely, it is no easy task what the Falcons are tasked with. And that is going up to chilly Green Bay, Wisconsin, and playing a quarterback who is playing out of his mind.
That's the biggest thing that stands out to me is right now in my mind there's two players that are playing the best football that I can remember. One of them is J.J. Watt and the other one is Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers is just – the game is in slow motion for this guy, and you really have to be on your defensive game in order to slow him down. He has so many weapons. There's so many other guys on that team that he elevates. He makes their game better, and it's just a huge task for this Falcons defense. I think that when you talk about the performance that the Falcons defense got on Sunday, it's a perfect way to kind of go into this Monday night game and have a little confidence in yourself.
Yeah, take that momentum boost into Lambeau Field. And these guys obviously are ready for the challenge. I see they're the underdog by 13 points. So not only are we picked to lose, but almost by two touchdowns. If that's not a shot to the ego for these guys, but I know they're not paying attention to the point spreads or the win-loss records. They're, you know, paying attention to the disciplines, the fundamentals of this week that they're going to have to do to try to slow down that high-powered offense and then score against the Packers D.
You're playing a guy, a quarterback, who has not thrown a home interception in almost two seasons, correct?
Yeah.
December 2nd, 2012, I believe is the day.
20 games?
Yeah. I think something like that. So I think, shocker, you know, breaking news, the Falcons cannot turn the ball over. You've got to have ball control, zero stupid penalties. It's the same thing Smitty preaches every week. But it's imperative when you go to a chilly environment with a quarterback who – statistics, trends are saying it's probably not going to turn the ball over and give you one. You cannot give the Green Bay Packers an extra possession.
I mean, I think he's only got three interceptions on the year. Mm-hmm. And to think about, you're at this point in the season, I think going into week 14, and you've only thrown three picks. I mean, that says a lot about what you're able to do on offense. And what's funny is that it overshadows their very good defense, correct, too. They've got a very good defense. I think to your point, you can't turn the ball over, and if you're able to get one of those elusive turnovers against this team, to turn it into 7 points. You have to. You can't go down there and just let Matt Bryant do the work. So you've got to find ways to score and against a very tough defensive unit.
I'm glad you said Matt Bryant's name because I feel like he is too far under the radar, in my opinion.
Way too far.
Can we get some Pro Bowl love started for Matt Bryant?
Let's go.
He's 22 for 24 on field goals this year. Has one-third of the Falcons' points for the season, 97 out of the 291. Matt Bryant, you could almost make the case he's the MVP of the Falcons in this many games so far.
He's killing it. And the thing is, you know, I had somebody on Twitter point out, well, you're kicking a lot of field goals if that's the case. Well, a lot of these field goals have come from outside the red zone. So the Falcons are still scoring touchdowns in the red zone, but these points are being scored outside of the red zone. At 39 years old, and you talk about a guy who's kicking 40, 50-yard field goals consistently in pressure situations, this is a guy that deserves as much recognition as he can possibly get. And I think if you're a Falcons fan, you're not voting for Matt Bryant, you're doing the man a disservice.
Let's play a game sometime. Like, what are you more confident in? It's hard-pressed to find a moment where you're more confident when number three comes out on the field to take a field goal kick.
Yeah, two things about Matt Bryant. Like, one, he's very fundamental and sound in his discipline. He talks about the same routine if it's a PAT or if it's a 50-yarder. And then secondly, I love his competitive nature. He even said after the game he would much rather see our guys be scoring the 17 points than him. So he's keeping score, but he said, you know what, whenever I'm called upon, and Smitty has said this too, whenever we get him in range, we know it's going to go through the pipes.
Yeah, it's real fun if you ever get a chance to go to a game, you know, and get in there early. watch him warm up. It's, mm-hmm. it's so mechanical in what he does, almost like a robot out there, and just crushing.
And it's the exact same. Yep. It's the exact same thing that he does every single game. Mm-hmm. Every time he's out there, he'll go 5 yards back, and he'll just he won't even kick when he first gets out there. He'll just visualize.
Mm-hmm.
His routine is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad. Let's give him some love because he has been a big part of why the Falcons do have a chance to make the playoffs. He's a big reason we have a couple of chips in front of
chips,
us.
Chips and chairs. Got one chair though, right?
Just one chair. All right, let's take a break with Brian Bosek. We're breaking with Bosek. What do you got for us today, our man Brian Bosek?
We have a Monday night game. Only Monday night game this year for the Falcons. Taking on the Green Bay Packers, primetime game. I was wondering what your favorite primetime game memory was.
That's a great question. Mm. You want to start, Reed? You got
sure.
one?
Sure. I mean, funny, it takes me back to Lambeau Field. Again, born and raised in Minnesota, Vikings fan. Randy Moss's rookie year, went into Lambeau. It's pouring rain, and the Vikings just went in and torched the Packers on Monday night.
Is that when he fake mooned the crowd?
No. That was a few years down the road.
No.
This was when he was still doing his thing as a rookie.
Okay. You can't fake moon somebody as a rookie.
No.
You got it?
I thought you were still going.
I mean, I can, but go ahead.
No, I'm all thrown off today. So for me, there's a couple. One would be, I think it was 2012 when the Falcons opened at home on Monday night facing Peyton Manning. And picked him off 3 times in the, I think it was the first quarter, but it might have been the first half. But got out big on Denver and was able to hold on to the comeback, hold on to the lead after Denver started to come back a little bit. And then I think it was the year before we opened on a Sunday night against Philadelphia. And this was after we had gone up there the year before and got completely trounced by them up in Philadelphia. So Vic was coming in, and he was the starter because he was hurt the first time we played or the year before we played him, and the Falcons just came out and dominated that game. So those are two of my favorites.
Yeah, it's good. I like the 2004 divisional playoff game, Falcons-Rams. It was like Club Georgia Dome. Place was insane, and we just trounced the Rams. And punt returns, we were doing all this trick formation. D'Angelo Hall and Allen Rossum were in the same backfield. It was a lot of fun. It was also a Thursday night Ravens, I want to say 08, 09, where it was a really good atmosphere, great game, back and forth, and Roddy White, as you said, kind of really took over the game and won it in the fourth quarter. That was a fun one for me. What else you got, Brian?
You guys are taking a trip up to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's correct.
I spent 4 years there in college, so I know a little bit about Wisconsin.
You got a little Wisconsin accent.
You sound like you're from Wisconsin.
It's like all of a sudden you start talking about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You just
went. You sound like right back to your roots. Hey, let's listen to you.
Be proud of it, bro. Own it.
Yeah. Right? Listen to him.
Own it.
UW-Milwaukee.
There you go.
All right. So I wanted to know, first off, just generally, have any of you had a Nuglaris spotted cow before?
I have. I have had that. In a couple times that I've visited Green Bay, it's a delicious beer. Yeah, absolutely,
it's great, Jay. When you go up there, I suggest you give it a shot.
Might have been a steak.
No, it's a spotted steak.
It's a beer. If your steak is spotted, as we learned in London,
we'll have to get you one of those. Give us the next. Right, so you got some beer. Wisconsin trivia for us, Buster?
Yeah, here's some trivia. First question: what city is the water park capital of the world in?
Isn't it Schlitterbahn? Isn't that the name of it?
No.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking something.
Milwaukee.
No, nope. It's Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
Been there. Oh, Wisconsin Dells.
Been there.
And I just think it's ironic that it's in Wisconsin where you guys are going to head to with this freezing cold weather and the water park
capital
of the world.
How often can you enjoy the water park?
Yeah, that water park's open like 3 weeks.
And you go 3 times a day for those 3 weeks.
Right?
It's awesome.
Most of them have inside water parks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I've always wanted to go to a water park.
Man, I got that. It's pretty neat.
What do you got?
What city is home of the Harley-Davidson motorcycles in
Wisconsin? I did know that was up there, but I have no clue.
Eau Claire?
I was going to waver between Mount Orab and Milwaukee.
Well, here's a hint. Matt almost had it right on the last question. It is Milwaukee.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh, where I spent 4 years.
Yeah. I'm just going to answer Eau Claire for all of these.
Now, what is Wisconsin's oldest city?
Eau Claire.
That'd be where are the Badgers play? Where's that?
Madison.
Yeah, Madison.
Where are you guys heading on Sunday?
Green Bay.
Yeah. He's keeping it relevant.
See what you did there.
Keeping it relevant.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you.
Yeah.
Where in Wisconsin can you get the best mozzarella sticks Jay's ever had?
Appleton.
Bingo.
If you don't know, that's where the Falcons stay.
I'm going to get off the plane, and I'm not even changing. I'm going right over this place I found last year. It was amazing.
It's mozzarella sticks?
Yeah.
Two more you got for us.
Milwaukee Brewers, they're Milwaukee. They have a tradition. They have sausage races.
Yeah.
So they have five sausages. People dress up in sausage costumes and run around the diamond or the field. So I wanted you to see if you guys can name the five sausages that race.
Mike, Tim.
No.
Ricky.
Types of meats.
It's the, it's the brat.
Types of meats. Bratwurst.
That's one.
The hot dog.
Hot dog.
The Polish sausage.
Polish sausage.
Kielbasa?
No.
Is that what the Polish sausage is? You've never heard
we'll
of kielbasa?
We'll go with the smoked sausage.
No.
Don't they have a chorizo?
Yeah. Yeah, they do have a chorizo.
Do they have those hot dogs with the cheese inside?
No.
Because those are good.
You got four right now. You're missing one.
What about a corn dog? We got one of that now?
I wish they had a corn dog. Those are delicious. No, Italian sausage.
That's kind of where I was going with my spicy two types of sausages. Yeah.
All right, and then last one. What is the record low temperature in Wisconsin ever recorded?
That's going to be bad.
Eau Claire?
No, what's the temperature?
I'll say -35.
I'm going to go 40 below.
I'm going to say 51.
55, -55. And guess what city that was in?
Green Eau Claire.
Well, Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world.
I'm a little disappointed you had no Eau Claire.
Great place.
All right, but one more you got.
What's the memory of the coldest you've ever been?
I'm glad you asked this. I've been to some cold ones. 2004 NFC Championship game in Philly was ridiculous. And then last year in Green Bay was ridiculous. But 2006, it was a Sunday night game, Chicago. I should have gone to like Football Reference and gotten that temperature. But at one point it was like -29 degrees. It was awful. I was filming on the sideline, and my breath like caused a whole sheet of ice on the side of the camera. I forgot that my toe warmers were in my shoes, so they started burning my feet on the bus ride home. It was awful. It was miserable. I couldn't deal with it.
Lloyd, who does our communications, sideline communications, he was telling me about that game. Everybody talks about that game.
That was awful.
I wasn't at it, but he said you would go over to these warmers that are like jet engines on the sidelines just to get warm. And you put your feet up against him. And he started out the day with, like, brand new white shoes. And they were, like, brown at the end of the night because he had burned them.
I remember there was some guy from the 85 Bears came down at halftime. And it was, like, the guy Mongo McMichael or whatever. I don't know if y'all remember
Steve McMichael.
Yeah.
Yeah, from WCW, Dan. Right, that's how I know him.
He came down. He was doing some halftime promotion. And we're all, like, huddled up on the warmer because, like, our 5 minutes we could get warm on the bench. And he's like, oh, you Atlanta, you know, beep, beep, you softies. And I think he might have had a couple of sips on grandma's cough medicine that night. But he was just like, oh, you know, I've played 8 of these and, you know, you guys just don't know. And then he went and it was like someone was going to win. I remember this now. This is a good memory. It was like a Century 21 or real estate company. Hey, if you open the right door, you get the house. And the lady opened the wrong door, and he just kicked the door in. He's like, no, she wins. And they're all like, oh, what do we do?
We're like, you do what Mongo says. That house is hers, I think.
What about you guys? That's definitely the coldest I've ever been.
I mean, I grew up in Western New York, so, I mean, all of these cold is redefined every week up there. So I don't really have a distinct memory. Green Bay last year was really, really cold. I don't know if it's the coldest I've ever been, but I would just say my childhood would be my best memory of the coldest I've ever been.
A couple years back, my brother lived in Colorado, and we were out there for Thanksgiving, so we went to the Nebraska-Colorado game, and it had snowed and sleeted the night before, and so in the stands, you were literally standing on blocks of ice. So I felt like I was in a freezer. It was miserably cold.
I saw Falcons fans last year in Green Bay not wearing shirts out there.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say this. I saw in that Chicago game, a Falcon fan showed me a picture. He bought a beer and, like, took a sip of it, and then, like, you know, something happened, and he looked, and it just turned to ice. It's like his whole beer ice. I don't think beer sales were that good that night.
Probably
like,
not. Yeah. Probably
all right, not. Good stuff, Bosek. So we're going to go to picks to click. And I thought I was going to get to three, but we gotta show this picture.
Are we doing this? This here?
Oh, look at this. Look Jaguar Paul.
Okay, so that's I'm with you now.
See?
That's great.
That is a great
so
picture.
So for those who don't know, Reed's been calling Dwight Lowry Jaguar Paw from the movie Apocalypto.
And that was his pick last week.
And that was his pick last week. And
stemming from his warrior-like mentality, he puts the face down for each and every
all
game.
All that, but he does resemble it.
No, that's really good.
Oh, look at that. Nice. Look at that. That's great. That's
good great. Work, Brian.
Have you told – and you did tell him he's
I've told him. Yeah.
We got to show him that side by side. We can print that out.
We'll do that this week in locker room.
So. Absolutely.
Hey, look at the way that's set up there. It's almost like I got his hair behind it. No?
You would look good with Jaguar Paul hair.
We should do it.
All right. So I had Jake Matthews, who I will say the O-line had a nice game. Jay, you had who'd you have?
You know who I had.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had the winner. Reed had Jaguar Paul. Jay, you had Julio Jones. So
yes,
as
I did.
Much as I wanted to come lobby for my guy, you know, Jake, no chance I'm winning that.
You are not.
So we're at 6-4 peace sign. So that means I got to win out.
You got to win out
to catch you.
Yep.
And then we'll do a playoff Falcon cast.
And I'm going to let you go first this week.
All right, can we make a new rule? And it's fun to make new rules. Can we make a rule that
he's going to take Matt Ryan?
No more Julio picks rest of the year.
All right.
I'm cool with that.
All right.
He's only given me four of my own. Oh, that's right. I have all four.
No Julio, no Matt.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Devonta Freeman.
Okay.
Who you got, Jay?
I say with it being as cold as it's going to be up there, you got to go to the running game. I'm going back to Steven Jackson.
I'm taking Harry Douglas, coming off his big week 13, going up to Lambeau. He's played there before. Ready to roll.
All right, kids. We'll see how we do. I feel good about that Devonta pick. Kind of how you went with Steve. Well, I think one of us two is going to win with that running game.
Could
so
be.
Hopefully. All right, so what do you say we go shock the world up at Monday Night Football?
Let's do it.
You down?
Let's do it.
All right, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Austin, Nicole Johnson, Brian Bosek. Thanks for breaking with Bosek, Brian. And we will see you guys next week.
In Eau Claire.
On another first place version of Falcon Cast. Fade to black.
Oh.
Audience goes...